Thanks. Okay, so that looks good. I'm just watching the needle.
Oh, okay.
I've used this previously for like meetings that I'm recording at work. When I want to record, like when I'm getting scoping and notes and such.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But anyways, this is the Unnamed Group Podcast, dispatch number one from Tiff.
There we go. I got the email because I just took it off.
You're giving the show sound effects. So Douglas, hi. Good morning. I know that face, I think.
Okay, I will then add.
Oh wait,
him.
I took your thing. I took your straw.
You want to drink your coffee out of a straw, Andrew?
I want to drink my coffee out of a straw. See, awesome. I'm distracted. Anyways, so it's day five of TIFF right now.
Yes, sir.
What's your number so far?
I think my number is 12.
Okay, I'm up 14.
Wow.
Over 4 days, 14 films. So I guess we should start with, without not the film, but just generally asking, like, how are you enjoying your first TIFF?
I like it. I mean, I always like being in a big city. It's a fun place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm getting to watch movies that hopefully I like in settings quite unlike Carib. It's quite nice. Also, you know, to get to meet some of the really nice people here. I mean, you know, Ran and Shane are the standouts for me. But
I'm sure you guys like have been laughing at me going, why does he keep talking about Ran every week?
Yeah. Those guys are cool. but you know, and being able to just hang out and enjoy myself rather than you know, killing myself at work.
Oh, that work thing. Mm. So, all right, I think this is what I want to do. We're going to be kind of shifting it up. And because, as we've mentioned, you've seen 12 so far, I've seen 14.
Yeah.
I think the good starting point isn't what we've intersected with.
Yeah, it's what we haven't.
What we
right.
haven't. And I want to ask, because there's a few you've seen that I haven't yet.
Yes.
Name your top three so far of the ones we haven't watched together.
Well, the standout number one.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, no, but it's just because this one is so out there that I know that this is number one. The standout number one is... The standout number one is Blue is the Warmest Color.
I'm so sad I didn't get that ticket.
That movie is so good, Andrew. So good. The funny thing is, right, I know no French, but if you read what the French title is, it's clear that it does not translate to Blue is the Warmest Color. It translates to something like The Life of Adele, Chapter 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're looking for a name to better describe this movie, that's what you're looking for, that name. Because really what this movie is, it's really focused on, mostly on this one girl, Adele, mm-hmm. who, you know, falls in love with Miss Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is kind of like a before and after. It's like before she goes down and after she goes down. So it really does go through a long period in her life. And it's just... Just to boil it down, it's splendor. Wow, watching your figure there with that coffee.
I like how it sees the coffee.
So this thing really, really focuses on her and gives her kind of the room to show you that yes, I am a great actress. And so no matter how much people complain that, you know, effectively all this movie is porn and sadness, I'm just like, but it's good porn and it's good sadness. So I'm happy for that. outside of that, the other movies that I really like that you haven't seen are The Sacrament. I really enjoyed The Sacrament. Now I'm not gonna say that this is like, you know, in the same class as Blue or anything.
I'm surprised that you're championing a horror film.
That's the funny thing. I expected a horror film. It isn't a horror film. By no means is it a horror film. It kind of has the basic horror film set up.
Yeah.
But it just goes kind of out in left field from there. So it's about, it's kind of about Jonestown in a sense. It's about that whole cult thing.
Yeah.
Right? So the setup is that this photographer has a fairly messed up sister who, you know, drug addict, alcoholism, all that, and she gets involved with these well, he thinks they're hippies at the time.
Yeah.
And she went off to some commune, and he hasn't heard from her in a while. And then all of a sudden he gets this letter from her asking him to come down and, you know, see how she's doing. And, you know, she misses him, that kind of thing. And it's very, like, secretive. There's no address in the letter or anything like that. It's just call this number and they will arrange it, kind of thing. Right? And so he calls the number and he goes out there and he realizes, holy crap, this commune isn't even in the United States. Right? It's like off somewhere in... I can't remember exactly where it was based. Somewhere probably in Africa. It had that vibe to it.
Yeah.
And you know, it sets it up really well where, you know, you see all these people who kind of feign happiness, or you as an onlooker look like they're feigning it. And you're just like, something crazy is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it does, but not in the horror movie type of way. I was expecting, you know, all these people would get kidnapped and tortured and, you know, have to saw their own legs off and things like that. But that did not happen at all. Mm-hmm. It was just a really fun ride, you know?
Awesome. Do you have another, or is your top three that short that we haven't seen? Because I know there are other movies we love that we've seen together.
Yeah, there are other movies that we have not seen together. I think...
You're allowed to have a top two.
Yeah. I'm allowed to have a top two. I'm just going to add this one in there. I think this movie... Yeah, I think this movie was okay.
Yeah.
But... If I was going to do a top 10, it probably wouldn't get there, but it's a good movie. It was okay. Wild Duck.
Oh, sweet. That was one that I had on my list, and I kind of dropped it going like, I might pick that up at the end. Mm-hmm. I might not. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a Greek movie. Mm-hmm. Tiff is highlighting Greece this year.
They have their city to city.
Yeah. And it was pretty cool. It was in no way as close to as good as this movie, but it kind of reminded me of... Do you remember a movie that Damien thought I would hate? I think it was called something like The Lives of Others.
Yeah, I remember.
It's kind of like that, right? So I still don't fully understand the backdrop.
Yeah.
Because they never quite say what industry they're in and whatnot. I'm pretty sure, you know, if I was... more into it, I would understand more, like, you know, down with the Greek people. But it looks like it's a telephone company that gets hacked, and their services are being, like, sold off.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, this person has hacked into the system for free and then selling the same services that they sell. It sounds like.
Okay.
Right? And somebody's investigating it, and he finds out, you know, where they've hacked in and what's going on. And he develops this sort of attachment to somebody close to the scenario. So what happens is the people that are hacking in know that it's easy for you to find them if they're like in some remote area. You know, if you're the only place in within 10 miles that has, you know, cell phone access, something's wrong. Right? So what they do is they hack in from an apartment building, which everybody
uses. They didn't learn true tradecraft.
Exactly. So there's an apartment building, and he finds the apartment that's all empty except for a bunch of servers and like an antenna pole, right? A tower is what they call it. And he notices, well, I think he goes upstairs to the apartment above him. So he bugs their phones to kind of gauge the temperature in a sense, because I think he like turns off the tower and wants to know when they're coming back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the other person will see and be like, there was so much noise and whatever. And he gets kind of attached to this woman because this woman actually has cancer.
Yeah.
And he's like, there is a tower below you. I wonder what caused that cancer. And so he gets very into it and very emotional about the whole situation. And that's really where the movie takes off from. And, you know, this is one of those movies where they play with time a lot.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back and forth. And sometimes it's a bit convoluted, a bit... I wouldn't say hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can understand it easily enough. I think there was one scene where I still am not sure. I'm like, that doesn't make sense based on where it was and when it was for you to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But on a whole, it was a pretty decent movie.
Good stuff. I think my top three of stuff you haven't seen that I've seen. I'm going to start with the one that you can't understand as to why I love it, which is Tim's Veneer.
Oh, okay.
Vermeer.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
No, we'll get there eventually. which is that documentary I saw on the opening night, directed by Tello, has Penn in it. By the way, I heard Tello speak for the first time in my life. I knew it was an act. I'm not an idiot.
I've heard him speak before. He speaks every once in a while on television.
But I just found it kind of weird because they were there that night. And for people who don't know, this is a documentary about one of Penn's friends, Tim Jennison, who is like this famous technologist and graphic designer, and he's apparently been awarded what are those awards? Saturn Awards which are like kind of like film awards for technology, for things like Mirror Mask and stuff. Movies I've heard of but
Mirror
never
Mask,
seen.
I know that name.
Yeah. It's great. It's about this guy, and he's kind of a wealthy dude. The thing about it is, he's so wealthy that it affords him time to go and do whatever hobby he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So he found out about this 1700s artist, Johannes Vermeer from Denmark. I think it's Denmark. No, it's from the Netherlands. See, I'm mixing. I have Dutch in my head, and I did the D. And see, this is what happens.
Just remember, there's something rotten in Denmark, but Holland is where you smoke the weed. Okay.
And he did these paintings which people couldn't understand. They were like so photorealistic, they got light the ways that people's eyes can't process. And what he did was he basically tried to spend a long ass time figuring out how this could have been done in the time and proposing. Because the thing about it is that technology and art are always in separate places. Mm-hmm. Right? Artists are a subjective force. Technology is an objective force. Technology, you start out with a thesis and then you end with the output,
mm-hmm.
right? Art, you start out with an idea and you end with an output and you hope that everyone who sees it gets that idea. Mm-hmm. But whoever gets a different idea, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is all about trying to take a technological mind into an art mind and realizing that they can come together. And I love it so much. What else is there? There is a movie I saw yesterday, I Am Yours, which is
that was on my slightly longer list,
which is by Iram Haq, who I've never seen before. It's about this woman who's a single mother living in Norway. She's Indian, and that only matters because you kind of see her parents all the while, and they're very Hindu. She really doesn't seem that much,
mm-hmm.
and she's out dating and banging all sorts of dudes, and she meets this one guy who's from Sweden, and he comes over, and they're all in love, and things work out, and it's all about this relationship where it kind of goes warm to cold again because of all the things in between. Hold on, let's take a little moment. Thank you so much. Yes, that's the sound of our breakfast coming in.
Yes. And Andrew, you got the big breakfast again, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I did not realize this. Can I try a piece of your sausage?
Go ahead. Go for it.
I was looking on...
last time?
Jealously last time. And...
You can take one.
No.
Okay.
No.
What was I talking about? I was talking about animals. The movie, it reminds me a lot of things like Blue Valentine, where you kind of just get invested in the train wreck that is the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy with it, right? It's not a movie that I think people are going to think, oh, number one movie of all time.
Yeah.
But it's just a really nice movie, right? And it gets really depressing at times.
Well, some of the best ones do.
Like, the movie opens with this girl going through a video chat roulette.
Alright, but hold on. Before you even get to that, here is the real test. If I was to put on the right scale, I Am Yours. And if I was to put on the left scale, Ass to Ass, which one are we... which one?
In what way? In depression?
Depression, yeah.
Ask to Ask wins that. Like, Ask to Ask literally goes through like an hour of depression
So then we're okay.
We're okay. It's just a really sweet movie. And I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the other movie, the one that you can't believe that I love so much, is my favorite so far. And I don't think I should really call it my favorite because it really isn't an amazing movie, but what it is a damn fun movie. And it is Alexandra Aja's horns with David Daniel Radcliffe, with Harry Potter himself.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of good things about Radcliffe's movies, and this is not the only one. I hear the F word is great.
So I'm hearing. And the thing about this movie is it's really pulpy. If you don't know, it's about this guy who his girlfriend is murdered and everyone thinks he did it. And after some running around and crying and drinking, he magically gets these horns out of his head, right? Which apparently allows people to be ridiculously honest with him. And thank you so much. And it progresses over time to other powers, right? And it almost feels as if it could be a comic book movie. in how crazy it goes with those powers.
Well, so, it's based on a book.
Yeah. Some people don't work out in this movie. There's the guy from The Social Network, the
Jesse Eisenberg?
No. You know Armie Hammer is in it as the twins.
Oh, I didn't know. In Social Network, as the twins.
There's the guy who's like their friend who helps tell them you should. He's in this movie too, and he kind of is bad most of the time, but it's okay. And the comedy is so good in this movie. Like, as they're like being honest, there's scenes of like there's one where he goes in to get his horns cut off because it's early and he's like, get this thing off me.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up out of the doctor's table to see him having sex with his nurse, because he said, I asked you if I could have sex and you nodded while you were sleeping, because while you were sleeping you were having a dream of him with his girlfriend. And then you just wake up to them. It's just crazy. I love the movie.
Yeah, I heard that there's a scene where it might be the same scene. He goes to like a dentist or a doctor or something, and the first thing the doctor says to him is, I really want to do a line of OxyContin.
That's like earlier in the scene. I love that movie. But so I'm going to go out there. I'm going to just put words in your mouth now.
Okay.
And you can stop me when you want.
All right.
But I'm going to guess, of the films we've seen together, our favorite, and probably the contender that would match with horns for me, is Jarmusch's Only Lovers Left Alive.
I love that movie. I really did love that movie. That movie was awesome. I'm trying to just triple check based on the movies that we have gone to, and you are correct, sir. You are absolutely correct. Those words were put in my mouth, but they fit perfectly. I did not think that I could ever love a movie with Thor's half-brother in it.
You have a reason to like Loki.
However, Jim Jarmusch always trumps Tom Hiddleston. So, I should have known that.
You should have known.
Actually, I knew what I was going in for when I went into that movie, because I've seen a couple of Jarmusch's movies. And
that's the weird part, because of Jarmusch's movies, I don't like that many. Like, I don't think I'd even say that I like any. Like, there's some that I appreciate.
The thing about Jarmusch, right, is he's very much like a lot of the people that I respect. Right? He's like a David Lynch type of character. Right? He is one of those guys where no matter what he does, I know that I would call him like almost a genius. But what it is that he strives for something. Right? And he goes all out so that essentially if he gets it right, he gets it really right. But if he gets it wrong, or maybe wrong is not the right word, because...
Yeah, don't worry. It's okay.
Because, you know, it's right for somebody. But if he gets it, if he doesn't quite come into my comfort zone, he goes all the way out there. And so you're just like, wow, no thank you. You know?
Don't you love the fact that he kind of went out and said, all of those historical figures we love, they were probably vampires.
Yeah, that was great. And not just the historical figures, but some of the historical figures were real people, but they were fronts for vampires. Like, John Hurt wasn't exactly Shakespeare, but he wrote Shakespeare's work, right?
I mean, he referred to
Shakespeare as like an illiterate buffoon or something like that.
They talked about how Hiddleston gave his stuff to, who is it, Chopin or Mozart? I can't remember.
No, it was, I think it was Bach.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was even this early moment which I found funny, where Yelchin comes in with some guitars, and Hiddleston is talking to him. He's like, "Yeah, this reminds me of that guitar from that guy."
Yeah.
And he's like, "You saw him live?" And he's like, "Stop, no, YouTube." He's like, "I can't give it away. I can't give it away." So fun. And I think that's what I like most about it—the funny moments. Because Hiddleston and Wasikowska in that movie is so funny.
She was good. Yeah. So is Tilda Swinton. I love her.
Tilda Swinton as a vampire, perfect. Like, who else would be a better vampire?
And you know what? I wonder. So, the two main characters are Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
A clear nod to, you know, the first people.
We don't even
Earth
know if that's their real
Bible.
Name. Maybe they gave it to themselves, going, "We're that awesome."
Exactly. So I wonder if. If Jarmusch is actually saying, and maybe I should have asked this in the Q&A, but I wasn't really thinking if he was actually saying, "Guys, listen,
you were just nerding out.
These like, were Adam and Eve."
Like, can I tell you, I was so like that moment where I saw them say Jarmusch is coming up, and I saw you step up in your seat. I'm like, oh yeah.
No, but you know when I really stepped up, which is sad because Jarmusch is way more awesome than this kid, but I love him to death. When Yelchin came out, I love Anton Yelchin, right? For no real reason. I don't know why. I tried to like map it in my mind what was the first big thing that that made me love him, and I can't remember. Because I loved him even before Alpha Dog, and that's a while back. And I don't even know what he was in before that, just without looking at IMDb.
You know, you just loved him for his other vampire movie with Colin Farrell. You know, that's all you wanted him for.
Screw you, that movie was terrible. Terrible. I mean, Colin Firth has redeemed himself somewhat. Has redeemed himself somewhat in McDonough's movies, but God, that guy can be in some bad movies.
Anyways, I think that's enough for this stuff. We're going to finish our breakfast, and we have a light day today, but we're going to have pub night tonight, so that'll be fun.
And Ryan McNeil has invited me perhaps to do another podcast.
So you'll hear about something later.
Exactly. Watching Night Moves, and maybe me and him will talk about that. Hopefully,
possibly.
You know, Andrew can join in, if, you know, assuming we actually have this thing.
Anyways, that's it. So enjoy, and hopefully there'll be more of these. So later.